Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. So when you're putting on your skincare, don't just like glob it in your hand and then just like go directly on your face.
Just like pat it on your face.
Yeah, because you're just getting it in that one spot that you just touched your face. It's not all over.
So really make an effort to rub it in everywhere.
Yeah, put it on the back of your hand, put it on like makeup or just dot it, you know.
Dot it in spots and then spread it.
Dot in spots and spread, but don't just like do like you're going to do body lotion and then directly on. No, that's not a good idea.
Trigger warning, this episode contains graphic crime.
Today's is a little gruesome. So if anything with children really bothers you, sit today's out, okay?
Okay. And it's not often we give those to them, so.
No, but it's what we're going to talk about today is rough.
So. I hate that.
We're headed to Santa Claus, Georgia, which is just outside of Savannah off Highway 1. And as you might guess in Santa Claus, it is Christmas all year long. We are going to meet a lady named Kim. Now, Kim grew up in foster care from the age of 3 when she witnessed her dad being murdered. She did not have a great time in foster care growing up. She ends up losing custody of her own kids and living in a car when she's very young. She finds herself at rock bottom, drug addicted, she's an alcoholic, and she goes to seek help literally in her bare feet from this little pink trailer that is a church outreach program. This actually really works for Kim. She ends up meeting a Sunday school teacher and rural mailman named Danny Daniels. Now, Mr. Danny is a deeply religious man. He does, in fact, fall in love with Miss Kim, and they marry a year after meeting. He helps get Kim clean. She actually gets custody of her kids again, and they move into a little house on Dasher Road, and they end up becoming foster parents themselves, and there are 7 children in their house.
Oh, Lord.
There are 4 bio kids and 3 foster kids. All 3, they are trying to adopt by Christmas. Now, in the course of them being foster parents, they have a little girl in their care named Joanne. And Joanne's brother, Jerry Scott Heidler, comes to visit the family some. And Scott, they kind of begins to befriend the Daniels, and they try to help him out. Like, they can tell, like, he has a very troubled life. Like, obviously, yeah. If your sister is in foster care, not good, right?
Right. And I'm guessing he would probably be too old to have any
type of... Yeah, he had aged out.
Okay.
But he was visiting his sister. And so, even after his sister ends up going back home, he still is coming around the Daniels house. And everybody kind of notices that he has a little bit of a thing for their 16-year-old daughter. Now, this man is 20 years old at this point. So, you know, not so great. They basically have a talk with him like, hey, man, you can't be coming back around.
Right.
Right.
She's a child.
Right. And so, I mean, it's no ill will or anything. It's just kind of like, hey, we'd still love to help you, but.
Right.
We can't have you at the house anymore.
Right.
Yeah. On Thursday, December the 4th, 1997. approximately 5 a.m. in Bacon County, Georgia. Three little girls are found walking down the road in just their pajamas. It is a farmer who his dog is like barking crazy. They look out the window. They see these kids in the middle of the road.
There's kids.
It's dark outside. And so they rush out. They get the kids. They call the cops.
Yeah.
And when the police arrive, this is about to get graphic. The girls tell a gruesome tale of murder, kidnapping, sexual assaults, and they all ID the same person, Scott. Little girls tell of Scott taking them from their home in a white van with tinted windows. He drives them to, now they know they're in Bacon County, but obviously they didn't know where they were.
They had no clue where they were, I'm sure.
On the way, Scott stopped and assaulted the 10-year-old sexually before putting her back in the van. Apparently, he started to assault the 8-year-old and stopped, put her back in the van, throws the gun out in the river, and then drives the girls the rest of the way into Bacon County, puts them out on the side of the road, and takes off. Later, we find out that the girls are spot on. They are telling the full truth. They've got all the details. They're parroting back their full experience. It's corroborated by DNA, and all three girls separately identify Scott in a photo lineup. Toombs County deputies, which is the county that Santa Claus is actually in, Toombs County deputies rush to the Daniels home because these little girls know exactly where they are, and they find four bodies. Bryant Daniels, who has a shotgun blast to the head, close range, is found face down in his bed. He was 8 years old. Kim and Danny Daniels have multiple gunshot wounds between them, and both are still in bed.
So he ambushed these people.
Yes. And then there's Jessica Daniels, who is found in the doorway of her parents' bedroom with a gunshot wound to the back of her head.
Probably going to see what was going on.
Yes. She was 16. She was the one that he was obsessed with. And a Remington semi-auto shotgun is missing from Danny's gun cabinet. There are 7 spent casings found in the house, which means that the shooter had to reload at least one time because the gun only holds 6 shells. Neighbors report hearing possible gunshots around like 1:45 a.m. Come to find out, Scott used a ladder to climb through the bathroom window. He got in. He smoked a cigarette, threw that on the floor. The police later find that. Test it. It's got his DNA all over it. And his fingerprint is on the window. After all of this, so he comes, he kills the family. He kidnaps the girls. He goes, throws the girls out in Bacon County. He comes back and goes to his mother's house to play video games and drink.
That is crazy.
Now, once the cops, catch on, the girls say this is who did it. They catch on to who it is because the way they figure this out. So the Daniels family knew him as Scott Taylor for some reason.
Okay.
They didn't know him as Scott Heidler.
Right.
DCS is called for the girls. The girls start saying it was Scott Taylor. They go, hey, wait, that's Scott Heidler.
Yeah.
So as per DCS is like, we know exactly where this house is.
And they probably knew exactly who he was, too, because I would assume that he had probably been in the system.
All up in that system. So when they show up at the mom's house, one report says that like Scott sees them, walks out, sees them. Runs back into the house and then goes to hide in the crawl space of the house.
They saw you, son.
Right. And so they bust down the door. They come to find Scott. The brother is, he's not here. I don't know what you're talking about. And they're like, no, motherfucker. Like, we know he's here. They find Scott in the crawl space. They end up arresting him and the brother. And the brother on obstruction charges.
I never understand why people hide in the crawl space. That's one of the first fucking places they're going to look.
Jeez. What? Hide and go seek champions. So they arrest Scott. They take him in. Scott initially confesses in an interview.
Oh.
Says, I killed him. I did it. And says that basically in the interview, they find out that during the year that he was obsessed with the Daniels daughter, the 16-year-old Jessica, he gets his girlfriend pregnant. They already have a kid together. He gets his girlfriend pregnant and she ends up at 6 months along having a still born baby.
Okay.
Come to find out, they're not sure. She is married to another man. And then when Heidler starts coming back around, she, I guess, is going to divorce him and get back with Scott. I don't know. But anyway, they don't know who the baby daddy is.
Okay.
But apparently, Scott is convinced that it's him. And so he is mourning this baby.
I started to say, so this is fucking with him mentally?
I guess.
Okay.
Well, the day of the murders, he had went to, and none of this excuses what he did fucking all. But this is the lame-ass excuse that he gave. He went to the funeral for the baby. And he apparently wrote a whole fucking poem, made baby mama read it at the funeral.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a whole fucked up thing. But, okay, Heidler is at the funeral, and then he goes back to his mom's house. His mom starts giving him down the road about this baby, how he doesn't even know that it's his and all this stuff. Apparently, he just loses it, storms out of the house, goes steals this van, makes his way to the Daniels, kills everybody, kidnaps the kids, assaults the girls, dumps them out. We know the rest, right?
Weird way to grieve.
Yes. Do you want to know the best part? This motherfucker pleads not guilty. When the judge asked him if he knew what would happen if he was convicted, Scott answered with both yes and no.
If you at least say, you know what, I'm guilty, then maybe you can get a lighter sentence. But like, this will go to trial. And then like,
and you could be put
to death. It's not up to you anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's never up to you, but
before... This is just him entering his plea, right? Before they even go to trial, on July 6th, Scott escapes police custody. He's quickly snatched back up, but this motherfucker is trying it.
Yeah.
August 30th, 1999, trial begins. So now we also have an escape charge on us.
Right. That does not look good.
And I've already listed, the state has a shit ton of evidence. There's a lot of other things that I have kind of skipped over.
And I think escape charges are like immediately felonies.
Yeah, in the name of respect to the kids. Yeah. But this is kind of the Cliff Notes version of this. State has a shit ton of evidence. Scott is absolutely cooked. Mm-hmm. He's gone. A forensic psychologist testifies at trial that Scott has 8 out of 9 symptoms for borderline personality disorder, which is, you know, characterized by extreme abandonment issues, a lot of lying, a lot of doing anything to get attention.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Now, an interesting thing to note is that Georgia has an automatic appeal process in death penalty cases. Of course, he's found guilty.
Yeah.
He's given the death penalty. Scott's case is automatically sent for appeal and basically automatically denied. Okay. They were like, oh, no, you did it.
Yeah, like this is pretty obvious here.
And so on September 2nd, 1999, Scott is given, and this is the full sentencing that takes, 4 death sentences. In addition to the death penalties, the court sentenced Heidler to life imprisonment for kidnapping, bodily injury, 20 years for each kidnapping, so all 3 girls, that's 2, 4, 6, 30 years for aggravated child molestation, 20 years for child molestation, 20 years for burglary, all sentences to be served consecutively.
They said, you owe us your soul, my dog.
Yeah. Of course, Heidler has filed a motion for a new trial, basically citing ineffective count. Anything, he's grasping a straw. Yeah.
The things they say.
Yeah. It's been denied.
Yeah.
Every time.
As it should be.
And Scott's still sitting his ass on death row today.
Well, I think once, like, you've had so many, like, appeals be denied, then, like, you should be fast-tracked.
That's what I feel like, too. And I'm like, there's no possibility of parole for this one. Like,
right. Yeah. This man is a dangerous.
Like, yeah, you killed multiple children.
Yeah. And it sounds like you didn't even really put that much thought into doing said murders.
Right.
So, like, some people cannot be reformed. I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but reformed, I guess.
Yeah.
And he is one of them. Like,
yeah.
Why he was sentenced in 1999, all of his appeals are over at this point. Like,
yeah.
Why is he still sitting there?
Right. Why is he still wasting money?
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about that, too.
Yeah. Like,
You killed an 8-year-old.
Right. And like, give death penalty time to make sure it's them.
Oh, and if you're adding up and you're like, okay, that's not 7 kids. There was a 10-month-old baby that was not harmed. He was just in the house.
That's good. That's not that anybody deserves to live more than the other ones, but that's weird that he killed the one that he was obsessed with. But then took these girls.
But then took these babies.
Right. That's a very weird... Sometimes you don't understand, and sometimes it's best you don't understand, and I guess this is one of those.
So I listened to a podcast for this that went really into depth into his background.
Yeah.
Which, okay, that's fine, but I don't like to do that, because that kind of glorifies these fuckers. But apparently there was, there's quite a bit of, like, I think it was like a brother or an uncle had recently been indicted on assaulting like a 16 or 17 year old. And there was some like incestuous stuff in the past. And,
Yeah.
So there, it's a whole family history.
He learned. That's what I was going to say. He learned that somewhere. So, all right. Well, we'll do a fun one. Not a fun one, but we'll do something spooky a little. Things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that is the story of the Santa Claus murders. That's very sad. I hope those 3 little girls were able to get help and peace in their life and go on and just fry him, just cook him. Just cook him at this
Serve
point.
Him up. Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye, y'all.